In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Matthew, the 10th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, at the start of our gospel reading for today, Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." This has got to be one of the hardest sayings of Jesus for our modern ears. St. Paul reports that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. A sword is an instrument of war, a tool for killing, appropriate for the church militant. It is designed to separate flesh from bone, tendon from cartilage, body from soul. The Word made flesh, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, did not come to bring peace. He came to bring Himself, a sword for the division of Israel, set for the fall and rise of many. He divides father from son, brother from sister, daughter-in-law from mother-in-law. He cuts the dead from the living. He replaces the bond of genetics and culture with the bond of the Spirit, sealed with His own blood. This cutting, His holy word, causes discord, division, and fighting among men. That is what swords, like the Bible, are for. This is because Jesus Christ is the most important thing that there is. Next to Him, His holy life and death. Nothing else is significant. Not who wins a World Series, not riots and looting in our country, not a global pandemic, not even our shallow lives. All of that is meaningless when compared to the eternal reality of God's love for man in the sacrifice of His only begotten Son. That is what matters. That is what is worth fighting for. But most people don't want to talk about religion. They fear giving offense. You are allowed to have opinions in our society about almost everything. You can embrace flagrant immorality, engage in unapologetic affairs, viewing of pornography, homosexuality, or even a declaration of your own gender identity. You can gamble, cheat, lie, steal. And the daytime talk shows, man, they will celebrate you for the diversity that you bring. But no one is to declare the truth of God and thus condemn any of these sins. Gossip and slander of your neighbor. Delight in hearing the faults and sins of others. Logging onto social media and belittling and berating all who disagree with you. Man, go ahead. That's okay. But don't you dare talk about your religion with exclusive language, as though Jesus is the only way to heaven. As though everyone else's beliefs and religions were false and only roads to hell and perdition. Our society's last taboo is a conviction about the one true God and His holy word. Confess that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and you are bound to be disliked and verbally abused. Protocol dictates that we look the other way as men race toward perdition. We should not say anything to anyone concerning Christ and His holy word, the Ten Commandments, or salvation by Jesus and Jesus alone. Because if we do, then of course we'll cause offense and exclude someone. You know, who are you to judge me? Repent. It is your society. It is your culture and mine. You and I are guilty of being more concerned with the opinions of men than the opinion of God. But no matter what sinful men wish for and say, there is only one way to heaven. There is only one name under heaven given among men by which we are saved. And no one who places his trust anywhere else, whether it be in Allah or Muhammad or Buddha or the great spirit in the sky, will go to heaven. Hell doesn't need to be acknowledged by the atheists and modern pagans. Hell doesn't care if anyone believes in it or not. It can wait. They'll believe in it soon enough, and they won't be offended in hell for having been warned, no matter how offended they are now. There is only one thing that matters, one thing which will not pass away, one thing that will endure, that which has always been, the Word of God. And those who carry the Word of God in their hearts, those who cling to Jesus alone, will be purified and restored to paradise, to eternal life with your eternal God. That Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, became flesh, bone, and cartilage for us and for our salvation. Jesus took up our cause in the virgin's womb. He allowed the law to do to him all that justice demanded of and should have done to us. The Father sacrificed his son in a Roman execution. Jesus' soul was divided from his body. He died in our place for sins he never committed. But he rebuilt his body. He resurrected his flesh. He rose again to life. And by that bloody death and glorious resurrection, he has redeemed you. He has snatched you out of the jaws of hell to be his own. He has done for you what you and I could not do for ourselves. He has saved us from sin. He has saved us from death. He has saved us from the devil himself. Complete payment has been rendered on your behalf. Not gold, not silver, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Death, hell, and the devil could not keep you, his beloved, from him. For you, his chosen, beloved, holy bride, for you he rose again to life. He emptied the Father's wrath. He declared you pure, holy, and righteous in the Father's sight. Your sins are gone. Your weakness, your fear, your doubts, forgotten. They have all been paid for, forgiven, and removed. There is no one left to accuse you. It is finished. Believe in Jesus, and you will never die. All those who trust in him, who find forgiveness and acceptance through the substitution of his perfect life for theirs, who have been joined to this historical event outside of Jerusalem in the mystical washing of water and word, will live forever with him in heaven. They will not, you will not pass away. That is what matters. God's word, it is still a sword. The church on this side of glory is still a church at war. The word of God still cuts and divides. The place where it is rightly preached is always marked by discord. The truth is painful to fallen ears of men. It is the stench of death to their lusting nostrils. And it is worth fighting for. and fighting about. By the grace of God, we have been called by the Spirit, begotten of the sword, made alive in crucifixion. We have felt our own hearts pierced, the old Adam slain, the new man raised up by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We have seen this war raging inside of us. Why is it the things that I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing? The things that I want to do, that's what I don't do? Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Jesus has made our hearts into instruments of faith, and faith must fight unbelief. Thus, we have been liberated from the devil. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. Still, we struggle. Yet for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. So bring it on, devil. We are ready. We are ready for this war, for that lying, defeating enemy. For we have a sword that cannot lie, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We cannot lose. We will not go peacefully into the bondage of the devil, no matter how peaceful that bondage may appear and seem to us. We will not pretend as though the debt has not been paid for, as though God has not fulfilled his word, as though we have been left to speculate and imagine for ourselves a way to God. We will not tolerate lies from men about our Savior and his word. We will not be intimidated by devils, by armies, by governments, or by petty church bureaucrats. We will fight. We will yield this sword for the life of the world. And fighting, that is, yielding the sword, means this: that we will preach God's word of truth, both law and gospel. We will take this peace-shattering good news to the four corners of the earth, that men might actually have real, lasting peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace announced to the shepherds in the fields that Christmas keeping watch over their flocks by night. A peace with the Father and with one another through the blood of Jesus and Jesus alone. Here is the truth. Jesus is Lord. There is none other. He rules in us by the power of his sacrifice and the gift of his life. Here we stand. In his word, he speaks to us. He calls us out of darkness into the marvelous light of his salvation. He forgives us. He picks us up time and time again. He strengthens us. He renews us. And soon, he will come again in glory. And his power will be evident to all. Creation's expectation will be met. The fog will clear. The veneer will be stripped away, and Satan's lies forever exposed. Then we won't stand. Then we will kneel. For every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. What a joyous day that will be. Until then, we fight. That is, we boldly and confidently proclaim God's word of truth, both law and gospel. We fight and we rejoice in the joy that is already ours, the forgiveness that is bestowed upon us, the resurrection to eternal life that is to come in Christ Jesus our Lord, because we are already free. But soon we shall be whole. We will then be free to sing the praises of Christ, to bask in his love, and to dwell with our beloved bridegroom forever. Our warfare will soon end. The sword will be beaten into a plowshare. And we sinful men, made clean, will lie down with the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen.